All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Well, look at TK back at the palatial.
At the manor?
Yeah.
The manor, baby. We got siding. The siding looks good. Haven't had to do a damn thing to the house.
Got trees. You all bundled up, looking good. I see you, homie.
Thank you. I still got to get my lashes. I got a little lash appointment I need to book.
There's a $2,000 lash appointment that she's got coming up.
Nails done, hair done, everything.
Hey,
done.
Are the foxes okay? Are they the fox family?
Good question.
It's bad, guys.
Oh,
They're peeing everywhere. They're trying to mark their scent. Emma is losing it. There's baby deer in the background at night as well.
Oh,
she's
keeping
me up till 2:30, 3 a.m. She's barking. She's growling. It's bad.
Damn. It's all bad.
Tristan. Well, I mean, that is what animals do.
Yeah, but I mean, at some point, you know, chill out.
Do the foxes and deer cross? Do we have a situation on our hands?
Yeah, the foxes were killing the deer.
Okay, okay.
There was random deer meat
in
the yard.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, snap.
Can we get a count? Because I've got ideas on what I'm going to do on this hit.
Yeah, what do you want to do, TK? Like, I don't want to do that again.
Oh, no.
But what do you want to do? Let's go.
Well, I was gonna find ways to bring up meat in the
of course,
like,
you were.
Random
no,
ways.
That's, okay, that's great.
I'm in a good mood, guys. I'm in a good mood.
I see that.
I see fall has started on the East Coast. That's a good observation by you.
Pouring rain.
Fall has started everywhere except for here.
Not here.
That's what I said. It's 99 today.
Kenny looks like he's going to a destination wedding and a White Sox.
Well, you know, this is my. This is my Bryson Tiller look. That's what this is, Bryson Tiller. You know, I got the linen black pants on with the Chucks. It's the Bryson Tiller look, you know.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. How many damn hats of teams that you don't even care about do you have? We kind of need to discuss this. We've never really called you out on it, or I have.
Well, I mean, because I'm always forthcoming. If it looks right with the outfit, I'm going to wear it. There's only one hat that I'll never wear. That's a Dodgers hat. We'll never wear a Dodgers hat.
Is that true?
Oh, that's
100% true. His son will wear it, but he won't.
Okay, Lake Show.
So you don't know. No, he used to be in his prior life. In his prior life, he was KC in LA on LA radio station.
Well, it was on the Bay Area radio station.
Oh, I did not know that.
And I was calling from LA. And that's what got the people hyped up, because I'm in enemy territory.
No, they didn't. Like, no one cared. We went over this story.
This is true, too, especially in L.A. They didn't.
That's what got the chatty house ready to meet you.
Oh, man.
It's good. It's okay. Very good. All right. I'll mark it down. Check. That's two. That's two.
But, yeah, Tristan, I'll wear anybody's hat. My wife, she doesn't allow me to have a Boston Red Sox hat because she's a Yankees fan. So,
well, there's probably a lot of reasons you don't want to wear a Boston Red Sox hat.
You can't really wear any hat anymore.
Well, I was
if you watch those videos.
Well, no, I wasn't really thinking of those videos. I was thinking more of Boston. But
well,
that's fine.
Yeah, you know. Right. Although I did think about I don't like Boston, but I did think about a Boston Red Sox.
What videos are we talking about now?
Oh, every hat means something.
Oh. Got it. I thought you meant that. I thought you were like referring to like the Diddy tapes.
No. The New Orleans Saints hat means something. Like how? Why? Yeah, every hat.
I'm convinced that there are people combing through everything Sean Combs has ever said so they can get it posted on the internet.
There absolutely are.
I have seen like videos from 97, 98, 99. They're just going year by year by year. Oh, look at this. Oh, look at this. Oh, look at this. He's been telling us all along.
Just like R. Kelly did.
Well, no, the difference is R. Kelly's act was actually caught on video and was watched. And everyone was just like, oh, look at that. It's R. Kelly with a 14-year-old.
The Pied Piper of R&B. That was crazy.
In any event.
You guys got any sports news? I feel like this is kind of like there's a little like, maybe it's all the meat conversation, guys. Well, your cat got your tongue.
There's three.
Well, I wanted to hear your story. And then Trista, I think, would be a good person to kind of
no, it's fine. The hell with where I wrote it in on the show. I'll fill that with something else. Well,
people were clamoring for it at the beginning of the show. That's the only reason why. I don't know. They knew about it.
This is my life.
Why is people listen to the show? People tune in, tune out every 8 minutes.
So you can. Oh, okay, no, wait. Colin Cowherd, calm down.
You actually, if you don't want to, you don't have to say it right now. But no. That reminded me. I meant to text Trista.
You're not texting me. You don't text.
No, I really didn't. Well, it was. I was listening to it late at night, so that's why I didn't want to text in, and I forgot the next day. But listen to The Replacement. That's not it. That's not it.
That's not it. He needs hammer.
No, come on. Why is he doing that? Come on, no. He's doing a little too much, bro. I can't take him seriously.
And every white guy ever.
What is this, 97? Is this 01 radio? Is this how we're doing? Come on, man. Yeah, I was like, oh, yeah. That's not a good look.
So here's the story. I was walking Sprout this morning. And normal route, run into the normal people we see. Mm-hmm. This young lady has a dog, and she was talking to me, and I had a D'Lo and Casey shirt on that's in the script of the – most of our logos are in some sort of script of the Kings. Mm-hmm. And we're walking, and she looks – we're talking. She goes, hey, are you ready for Warrior season?
Bitch.
I said, didn't say that. Thought it. Didn't say it. I was like, well – I'm ready for Kings season. Oh, you're a Kings fan. Yeah, I'm a Kings fan. Conversation goes on. She's from the Bay Area, blah, 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 blah. Continue the walk.
She's trying to hit.
Okay, well, stop.
That's why we have Trista on for this story.
Okay, so let's make this clear. Fast forward 40 minutes.
Uh-huh.
A 60-some-odd-year-old woman approaches me, and it's a woman I see.
Wow.
Says to me, are you excited for Warrior season? All
right. See, that's why I get all these new developments. All these, like, nah, man.
Never has anybody ever approached me and asked me if I was ready for Warrior season. And it happened twice in one morning.
Mm-mm-mm.
The second one, I don't actually believe. I don't think the 60-year-old woman was trying to hit. I still think number one, seen her before, playful banter. Oh, Kings fan. You know what I mean? A little playful ribbing. We all like a little playful ribbing.
I heard not too long ago that playful ribbing. Okay.
That's a gigantic pause. If you dig, no, never mind.
Oh, Jesus.
You did you take something before this hit? Like, did you take some happy pills?
I didn't sleep much tonight. Last night I didn't sleep much.
Oh, so you're a little loopy.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, loopy Trista is it's a vibe.
Baby. Let's go.
Yeah, no, these people, they like it, they didn't ask me.
It's spreading. The Warriors' cancer, our Dubs, the disease that is that fandom has spread all the way to your neck of the woods. You just live in the suburbs. Well, that's what's happened. You've lived now. You live in a, and I think you did before. You live in a probably, you know, upper class neighborhood, and they're not rocking.
That's regular. That's not
nothing. But not for the culture. You know what I mean? Not where KC and I live. Yeah, you know what I mean?
I'm in the slums. I'm down there with Jacob Fatu. Shout out to our guy, Jacob Fatu. You know what I mean? I'm down there in the slums with my guy, Jacob, and Solo. I'm down in the slums.
You can't be serious.
I am.
You're in the slums.
Slums of Sacramento, man. We get it out the mud over here.
Go ahead. No, hold on. Go ahead.
Where there's orange groves.
You live in Elk Grove, right?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
The slums of Elk Grove.
It's rough over there, man.
How new is that city?
Okay, bro.
Just stop playing with us.
I see you, Trista. No, Trista's all in on this gag. That's fine.
Trista doesn't know the dynamics here as well, though. I think she does. We've talked about it. But for a place that Bay Area people try to look down on, try to talk crazy about.
Both of those young ladies were from the Bay Area.
That's what I'm saying. They're out here to Sacramento in droves.
They got pushed out of their city. Mm. They're dealing with their own issues in the Bay, and they wanted to come. Don't bring your little Warriors noise over here. You better put on that purple if you want to be in this.
Yeah, all that is done.
Not the Valkyrie purple either.
All that is done.
How about my team, my Portland Fire?
Oh, whatever, okay, dude. Yeah. Whatever.
I saw your little BS rant, by the way. Why do you even have to bring Portland into it?
Because Portland was the one who got the team. That's why.
You shouldn't have brought it into it.
Why not?
Because, you know, I go rock with y'all, and you can't come after my. You have to have that.
I'm not coming at the city of Portland. I'm coming at the WNBA for what they've told the people who want the Monarchs back, the reason that they can't have them. Your franchise folded in 2 years.
But don't you think, with that ownership group that is the Portland Thorn ownership group and how Portland now is. I was just talking to somebody about this today. Portland is like literally the city for women's sports right now.
Yeah. When did that happen?
I think the sports bra really like so stamped it.
Fine. Let's open a sports bra then. Are we serious? Is that what we're talking about?
Portland Thorn has a team. You do not have an NWSL team.
We would have,
people not cashing in.
The same jackasses that this city puts their trust in, screw it up. But go ahead, I'm sorry.
Do you think the city would show out and sell out?
Yes.
Absolutely. That's not without question.
Soccer, so women's soccer.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. And you think they would sell out women's hoops?
Yeah, and sellout's a relative term, right? I don't believe there would be 17,000 people at 20 home games in Sacramento. I do not believe that.
No. Not like,
but would there be 10 to 13 or whatever?
Lower bowl for sure.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Without a shadow of a doubt. And here's the deal. So with the soccer thing that just got fumbled and bundled by people out here that make false promises, soccer,
that fumble and bumble everything they're involved in. But sorry, go ahead.
Soccer out here is like, it's like top five youth sport participation soccer in the country. Like Sacramento, I think just Elk Grove is top five, to be honest with you. So it's rough out there. That's all we got to do is we look for sports because we're just trying to find happiness anywhere. But here's the deal. Here's the deal though, Trista. And this is what I think Damien is saying. I think we all agree it's going to succeed in a major way in Portland. It's not going to be like it was before. And that's because the league is different. I think Portland is obviously distant ownership. It's going to succeed. But if you're going to be in the business of giving cities back their team, Portland should not have been first on the list. I can make the argument, as much as I love Sacramento, if Houston has a group that wants it, they should be first. Maybe you put Sacramento second. Or Portland is way down the list.
Here's the issue with Houston. And this is the issue with all big cities as it relates to sports. Unless you're really, really successful, you have just too many opportunities and things to take your attention away as a fan. Portland's got, we've got nothing. Like if people who haven't been like really in Portland, they don't realize we have like manufacturing plants and Freightliner, and we've got like tons of truck, like all this industrial Midwestern gritty stuff. It's not Portlandia. It's like, it's gray. It's dismal. It's like the best thing we have is like smoothie bowls. Like that's all we got is our food and our sports. Like Sacramento, as much as you guys ride for your teams, there's a lot to do because the weather's better. You're close to the bay. The closest we have to anything is Seattle, and it's just like a bigger version of us. Houston.
Then go watch the Storm.
We're not doing that. We can support our own team. Thank you very much. Thank you. We got the Thorn. We got the Timbers. We're obviously like killing it with niche sports. But in terms of Houston, with the pedigree and what they've done, that's all well and good in a vacuum. But I don't think Houston people are showing out. I don't think they're selling. You see that with the Atlanta Dream. There's too many litty opportunities in Atlanta for people to sell out that arena unless they become the Las Vegas Aces.
Atlanta has been a struggle since they became a WNBA team. I think they even went to the finals a couple of years. Never won a game, but I think they went to the finals a couple of times. And you might have missed this, given you called it my little video on the Sacramento Monarchs, but the issue was less about Portland. Portland got the ire of my frustration because they had been named the team. What Kenny and I know is what the WNBA has told the people who are interested in bringing the Sacramento Monarchs back behind the scenes. And it was like, oh, we're just not sure that the city can support the team. You get, I don't know. I don't know if Sacramento is ready for women's basketball. I was like, what the hell have you seen from this city that gives an implication that they're not ready for anything? Whether it was the Sacramento Monarchs, I get this was, God, 15 years ago at this point when they folded, but they were one of the more successful franchises in the city. When the worst owner in professional sports says, hey, Sacramento's going to be my temporary home for Major League Baseball, no one cared. They went out there and they put down deposits for season tickets. When the Sacramento Kings sucked and they built that palace downtown, no one cared that they still sucked. They went and purchased tickets and suites and all of those different things. There has absolutely never been a situation involving sports where Sacramento didn't ride with their team. And for the WNBA to tell a prospective ownership group that they have questions about that is either short-sighted by the WNBA team and they're not, or the WNBA group, and they're not paying attention to what the city of Sacramento is, or they just want those, they just don't want those owners a part of this, and they already had their eyes on Portland because they like the sports bra and they want to do this whole women empowerment thing, and look how Portland, it's such this great market for women's sports. And in that case, they could kiss my ass.
That part as well, but like, let's be real, Kathy Engelbert,
She's bad. She's awful.
She's fumbling and bumbling. Like I was talking to, like we were talking about soccer recently and women's soccer and how profitable and how the valuations on those franchises have risen so fast. The woman who bought the Spirit, DC Spirit for $35 million. And now the valuation is 2-3 years later, maybe 4 years later, $100 million. I mean, you're talking about $250 million valuations on some of these teams. And the reason that people are investing, the reason that they feel like even though they're not making money right now, that it is profitable and a growing business to get into is because the TV rights and the way that they've set up their broadcast negotiations is much better than the WNBA, right? Like the way that they time this for the WNBA isn't particularly great. They're locked in for what, another 5 years? Like Caitlin Clark's shoe's not coming out until 2027. Like you got to capitalize on the interest of the league, and TV rights are a big piece of making the league profitable, and they're not going to be able to like change that for a minute now.
I do think that eventually, I say, I don't know the timeline, but in the next 5 to 7 years, maybe 5 to 10 years, I think the WNBA gets to 20 teams, and I do think Sacramento gets in there barely because that, for whatever reason, they're interested in Denver, and I could see
probably the Cronkies.
That's Denver,
probably why.
Denver don't even like the Nuggets. They don't like the WNBA franchise, but I do think they get in there. But like I said, the frustration was
that's the only one I don't think will work.
Denver.
I do not see that working.
Mm. You think Houston would work? You really think Houston would work?
It might not work in the Toyota Center.
I don't know.
They might have to play at the University of Houston or something like that.
I'm not sure. I don't know if Houston works long term. I genuinely don't know. That organization, like their law, it wasn't a support issue that caused Houston to lose. It was a spiteful owner that was pissed at David Stern that caused them to lose that franchise. So, yeah, I'm not sure. I think you make great points about Houston because it's a lot like Atlanta.
Yep.
And I think there's ways to navigate that stuff. We've talked about the Carolinas and how Memphis, Nashville, Knoxville, like somewhere in that regard. But I don't know about Houston. I don't know.
You guys had a cow. You guys were talking Cowboys before I came on. You guys still want to do that, or are we not okay, doing
would
that?
You, do you, I wish I could see how, like, what's happening inside your brain sometimes. Do you?
Well, I have a tab open. You guys. Well, you okay. You guys got me to Google Cowboy schedule, and so I was looking at the tab. Like, am I even going to use this data?
Well, let's go with it, and the hell with the WNBA playoffs. Let's go to.
Well, let's do the playoffs first. Let's do the playoffs first. My bad. It's not my show.
At some point, y'all gonna let me drive this bitch. Like, I know what I'm doing. Like, I've been here. Like, I've done this. At some point, I got two KCs in front of me right now. No, I don't even know what there is to say about the playoffs. Do you think, like, I mean, does anyone think something's going to happen in these playoffs? Like, we're getting the four best teams in the next round, aren't we? Probably relatively quickly.
I think that's right. Like, Indiana is a nice story. I think the thing that I will say, and I just made a video about it while you guys were on the air, is, like, I'm officially out on what are we doing with this Caitlin Clark media stuff. I don't know if you guys saw, and I like Christine Brennan a lot. I worked with Christine Brennan, USA Today, wrote a bunch of books. I think she's writing a book on Caitlin Clark. But, like, it's really weird.
Yeah. Was that the LA Times thing? Was that Christina Brennan?
That was the DeJounay Carrington question.
Right? Where she's like, hey.
Yeah. Was it that, but the headline? No?
No, she asked her a question, like, face-to-face, like, during shoot-around.
So she asked Caitlin first, did you feel that the poke in the eye was intentional? And she said, like, bitch, please. Like, have you not seen basketball before? She kind of said it just like that, too. Mm-hmm. Like, did you not watch the replay? And then they go to DeJounay, and she's like, so was that intentional? If it was intentional, what were you doing? Like, just give me some thoughts. It's like, and DeJounay's like, no, that's not what I didn't even know I hit her in the eye. It was a play on the ball. That's not the kind of player I am. And then she goes and says, well, you and Marina Mabry were kikiing it over there, like laughing about poking Caitlin Clark in the eye later on in the game. Is that not what you were doing? And she's like, she looks at her like, you know,
yeah, she almost got cursed out.
You know, when strong black women like give you that like eye with the lashes and they like close their eyes. That's what she did to Christine Brennan, like just holding everything back inside. And she was like, no, I just told you I didn't even know I hit her in the eye. How could I have poked her in the eye on purpose and laughed about it if I just told you I didn't know? Mm. It was insane. And to that point, she was so aggressive with DeJounay. Mm. And the way that she said it was just like, what are we doing here? That was where the moment has, like, we've jumped the shark now. Like, a lot of the questions around how Caitlin has been defended, how she's been treated, like the Gino Auriemma, whatever commentary preseason about her, you know, having to adjust and like who knows how she's going to be able to get into the league. And anybody who thinks she's going to dominate and be fourth MVP voting is like silly. So, yeah, like I get that. And I ride for Caitlin in terms of that. But like, we can't do this. Like, this is now very obviously terrible, humiliating journalism. Mm.
And these are the things that are frustrating. To be honest with you, at least I'll speak on my end, it's never been Caitlin and Damian. We talked about this from the start. Caitlin, she just bought like anything that they've tried to make. Caitlin's like, nah, it's just hoop. All the way back to Angel Reese at LSU. Mm-hmm. She was just like, man, it's whatever. Like, that's what I was doing. It's just basketball. Like, she's always taken that approach for the most part. It's been the coverage there's been the coverage that is like, nah, this is way too much. It's way too much. And it's screaming people that either have an agenda or have no idea what women's basketball and sometimes basketball in general looks like. Like, yes, I don't know what you thought. I don't know what your preconceived notions were of women's basketball, but yes, it's a physical game. It gets just as physical as anything that you see on the men's side. In some cases, maybe even more. Like, yeah, it's not one person only getting, knocked around in certain occasions. Like, that's what happens. And it's been crazy from the start, man. I hope it dies out.
I don't see it. I think it's just going up. It's getting more and more obvious, more and more weird. But on top of that, even if DeJounay did do it on purpose, who cares? It's the playoffs. That's like, you don't think people were elbowing in my high school basketball team. Like, people are elbowing people on purpose, grabbing each other's jerseys, scraping you across the skin. Like, that's a part of the game. And it's just kind of getting to the point where I'm like, I think Christine, and again, I like Christine. I think she just follows Caitlin around all over the country now, everywhere she goes, just covering Caitlin.
It's the craziest story, because I've been playing basketball my whole life, all 41 years, and I can remember probably 35 of them. I've never heard anybody, whether I'm playing in the game, hanging out with people that just played in the game, watch the game. I've never watched what I'm about to do. I'm about to poke her in the eye. I'm about to poke him in the eye. That is not even something that ever happens. How would you think, like, yeah, like, that's what I'm about to do to get back at this person? Come on, man. It's crazy.
This weird WNBA season is mercifully almost over. Or this portion of this weird WNBA season is mercifully over. And I hope all of these loudmouths focus on the next four teams that are playing for the WNBA championship, because they are probably by far the four best teams in the league. And we could see some movement tonight. Let's talk about the Cowboys now.
Well, that's why that's what I want to talk about, and that's the Cowboys and how we want to win a Super Bowl just so bad.
And that's me that's me driving into a brick wall right there trying to get to your Cowboys stats.
That's how we got to the meat conversation. That's literally great. Why we got into the meat conversation is the Cowboys have just been in the news. They've been having a little meet cute with the media a little bit too much, and it's all negative. We've got Jerry Jones acting like he's at an auction block with the guy who played in Django. He's giving height. He's giving weight. He's giving 40 time. He's giving hand time.
I said we wouldn't even gonna have that conversation, we weren't even gonna have that conversation on D-Lo.
We knew what it was. Everybody knew what it was.
And then people in my comments were like, "Oh, that's just that's just guys," you know. I'm like,
"No, it's not.
No, I'm a guy.
No, it's not.
Guys, yeah, he's tough. 8.5. It's like, no, bro. I've been on this earth a long time, and maybe I didn't get those scouting reports. You know what I mean? Like, I just never saw those. And then you got the whole situation where the run defense is so bad. They're soft as marshmallow as a team, which we know that they see. I could have gone another round.
I know you could have, and I'm really thankful you didn't. Yep. Yep.
And I don't know how to get out of this one. They're letting teams run it down their throat, just pound it down their throat, pause. And giving up 151 yards to Derrick Henry on the ground, 2 TDs. You're giving up another, 70 yards to Lamar on the ground, like over 200 yards rushing that the Cowboys give up. And on the other side, your offense completely sputters and stagnates and has, because you can't run the damn ball yourself when we had multiple running backs that you could have gone after. And they keep saying, we don't have the money. We don't have the money. I'm sorry, you've got Trey Lance on your team. He's making $5 million. Does he have to be on this team? Man. No, he does not. There's other guys on the team that you can move around and maneuver your cap. There's all kinds of cap magic that we can do. And if Derrick Henry got freaking house in Dallas thinking he was going there. And guess what? It's been empty because he's been in Baltimore. And I just don't understand really what they're doing. Bringing back Ezekiel Elliott made no damn sense. Losing Tony Pollard when you now bring back Ezekiel Elliott, having Tony Pollard by himself as an every down back, and a guy, Deuce Vaughn, who's literally 5'6", which makes also zero sense. There was multiple running backs you could have gotten in free agency. You end up then going out and getting Dalvin super washed. I'm cooked, cook. I just don't like any part of it.
And then we
watch the freaking Washington Commanders, and you got the second coming of who knows what we're even seeing from Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels looks like him. 7-yard bomb on 3rd and 7, cover 0. Knew he was getting his ass lit. Pancake, and he said, you know what? I got big balls. Terry McLaurin is going to go out there and bring it home for me against the Cincinnati Bengals. That we don't have that in our DNA. There is nobody on our team that can do that.
Well, you're handling it well.
TK, in 10 seconds, were you able to find 7 wins?
10 seconds.
8 wins. I mean, there's not many wins on I looked at the schedule. It's 7 or 8. And maximum 9. But you're talking about a lot of teams that they're going to have to go and play very soon that I think they're going to lose to. Is Kenny like now committed to the break time? What's happening?
Yeah, I'm not. I thought that.
I didn't know. Again, we get yelled at again, for not following that. I was trying to make sure.
At some point, y'all will let me do the only thing I do well. My man was trying to be responsible. So you saw how many? 9?
Yes, I think 9 wins. So you look at this team. Okay, so you say, I think they get right against the Giants. They probably don't cover. They definitely lose against the Steelers. Justin Fields is going to make us look insanely incompetent on the road. That's an L. To me, that's an L. That's not a get right spot. This is not your Cleveland Browns team. They are 3-0. And Justin Fields looks good, and TJ Watt's coming for that ass, and you have no running game. Lions, that's going to be a hell of a showdown at the crib. I think that's going to be a super high-scoring game, but Lions defensively look much better. That's an L. Niners, L. Falcons, I don't know, man. They put up one hell of a fight against the Eagles. Eagles, probably an L. Texans, probably an L. Commanders on the road, what we just saw, what they just did to the Cincinnati Bengals, I'm not calling that a win. Giants at home, that's a win. Bengals on the road, I have no idea because the Bengals look bad, but in December they look good, so that's an L. Panthers win. We're at 3 wins right now. Buccaneers, we'll call that a win. 4. Eagles.
Well, I don't like the way you said that.
I don't trust the Commanders based on that one loss that we've seen. I think they have real cracks. But that could easily – I wouldn't be surprised if they lost.
So what's,
I wouldn't be surprised if this was a 6-win team.
Wow. So what's the end game then? That's the part that we can't figure out.
That's what I can't figure out.
Oh, good. Again, you're handling this very, very well.
Do you agree with because Jesse's talked about it. Do you look at this as just a gap year where, it's just a bad year, and then we revamp the following year?
Well, what I will say is that if this is a 6-win team, they're probably getting a high first-round draft pick on a running back, and that's just kind of what you have to do. There's other issues on the team. The offensive line doesn't look good. And when Dak looked really good as a rookie, that was the best offensive line in football. So what they need to do is fortify protecting Dak. But you cannot – we're seeing this with the Bears and Caleb Williams. You really can't do anything if you can't run the damn ball in between the tackles. We can't have guys going out wide. We can't have little screen passes. We need to play smash-mouth football. And on top of that, I have to say – I feel like they should have fired Mike McCarthy and hired Dan Quinn as their head coach.
That's the thing that we keep getting hung up on is when they decided to not sign or fire Mike McCarthy, they made a commitment to be exactly where they are right now, which is odd because you're going to have so many really, really high priced players across various positions.
Death. That's the end game. Death.
Are you buying any 3-0? Like, I mean, Kansas City, obviously, I'm sure you are. What'd you think of Buffalo in their start?
Buffalo looks really good. Complimentary football, pick your poison. I don't know if you guys saw what Josh Allen said at the presser. He was like, this all works much better when you have a room full of guys who do not care how much they catch the football, how much they're targeted, how much they score. And that was a direct shot at Stephon Diggs, and it's clear that he was a problem. Yeah, it was clear that he was a problem there, and that was creating a rift with everybody else, and that trickle-down effect really changed the dynamic of that offense. They were force-feeding him at times. So I believe in the Bills. A team that I think everybody should watch out for, a team that I said this after week one, I think I even said it preseason. You guys can correct me if I'm wrong. I'm pretty sure I did. The Vikings are real. The Vikings are extremely real. That defense with Brian Flores is nasty. Not only do they have worse personnel this year, they're just playing better than they did last year. So I think Brian Flores' system is trickling in and kind of everybody's gelling. The running game is elite. Again, Aaron Jones, you got backup running back as well there who's a little banged up. You've got Sam Darnold, the resurgence of Sam Darnold, who makes some boneheaded plays, but Kevin O'Connell turns these quarterbacks into guys that could pass for 5,000 yards. Like you got like the Kirk Cousins effect. Kirk Cousins is not good, right? He's not like an elite passer.
Well, that's not fair. He's solid.
He's okay, but he's not elite.
Okay.
Like Kevin O'Connell makes really like middle of the road to under middle of the road passers look really good. Just like Ben Johnson and Dan Campbell have made Jared Goff look really good. You put Jared Goff in another system, you put him in Chicago, and he looks like Caleb Williams. So I really think the Vikings have a shot to have maybe offensive player of the year noise in Aaron Jones. Like maybe you've got Sam Darnold MVP numbers. Maybe you've got Kevin O'Connell. I think Kevin O'Connell will win coach of the year if they continue.
Yeah, I can see that happening. They look really good. They look really good, and it looks sustainable. You know,
two contenders that they beat the hell out.
Yeah, they look like a team that, which I thought was going to be a bottom five team this year. They're going to really be able to maybe be a playoff team, maybe win a game or two in the playoffs.
If this is all accurate, and let's roll with this because TK don't miss. So let's roll with this all being legit. A big reason that they're going to be in the positions that we're talking about is because of Sam Darnold, no?
Yes, I think that's what I said. Sam Darnold so, MVP is like 70 to 1 right now.
So Sam Darnold is not Andy Dalton. Mm-hmm. Sam Darnold is still a very young quarterback. Are we looking at a situation where Sam Darnold winds up being the Minnesota Vikings quarterback?
I mean, they really like JJ. And maybe JJ waits 2-3 years, just like what we saw with Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love or Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre. Like maybe what you do is you boost Sam Darnold's stock all the way up. He has an MVP season, and then you ship him out somewhere that needs a quarterback.
Well, he's on a 1-year deal, so they're going to have to make a decision.
Yeah.
They're gonna have to make it, and then they can't ship him out. They don't have no control over that.
Well, and now he'll be worth money, no?
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about his money. Like he'll be able to sign a contract.
Will be higher. They will have to do something, and thankfully they have a cheap rookie quarterback, and that's kind of how this whole model is.
And that's the tough thing for Sam is he'll have to think because he's been with obviously the 49ers now with the Vikings. He's been with bad organizations. He's been with two very bad organizations before.
Yep.
And he'll have to assess any opportunity that comes his way. And we've laid this out repeatedly. There's going to be a lot of them.
Yes.
There are going to be a lot of quarterback spots open this upcoming offseason. And that's a decision.
He's going to have to pick and choose because the issue for him is that he's very system and coach dependent. And do you want to get your money? And some of it will be guaranteed. And then go to a place where they misuse you, where your talents are not found, like you're not exploited, your talents, they're not getting the most out of you. They're not putting pieces around you. Their defense isn't good. Their running game isn't good because you can find yourself out of a job very quickly. Like Sam Darnold as a backup quarterback in this league, once JJ McCarthy is there, isn't a horrible possibility either. If he gets his money and he still stays with a good franchise, I think that's better than him taking more money that's non-guaranteed and going to a place that's non-functioning, like the Giants. The Giants are non-functioning.
Yeah. And because, like you pointed out, Trista, because of the rookie contract situation, they could just pay him and
yes.
and let McCarthy learn as the backup. You know what I mean? Because you're not going to – I mean, he is a first-round pick. It's not like Brock Purdy, but you won't be paying him, you know, max dollar. So you can maybe afford to have what would he be making, like maybe $7, $8 million a year, McCarthy?
Yeah.
Maybe you could afford to have him as
I don't remember where he was.
If the Cowboys have a $5 million backup, a third-string guy, then Minnesota could have a $7 million backup.
He has a signing bonus of $12 million, base salary of $800,000, carrying a cap hit of $4 million. So that's not bad at all. Mm-hmm. Also, what about Miami, depending on if you think Tua is another concussion away and Mike McDaniel, that's an awesome spot for Sam Darnold.
I don't think
honestly.
Mike would do it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Mike
would do it.
Mm-mm.
He's got no faith, or he's got too much faith in Tua.
I think Tua's his guy, and if he has to – well, I don't want to use the term. I don't want to use the term that's in my head. Yeah. But if he has to ride or otherwise with Tua, I think that's what he's going to do.
Till the wheels fall off with Tua.
Unfortunately. Wow. I could be wrong. I mean, Jesse knows his team better than I do. But, like, I feel like – I mean, and I could just be reacting to Mike McDaniel's behavior after what we saw a couple weeks ago. He looks like he genuinely loves Tua Tagovailoa, and I'm not sure that he would put him in.
What about LA? I think the Rams are an awesome spot for him too. Matt Stafford is getting older. Mm-hmm. They've got Puka, yeah. They've got Cooper Kupp, they've got Kyron Williams, you've got a brilliant mind.
You got Sean McVay, yeah.
Yeah. That's an awesome spot. I think if I'm Sam Darnold, I'm talking to my agent being like, get me to LA. Mm.
That's a good one.
Yep.
That's a really good one. Sure, man. This caught my attention. Schefter tweeted it. I wanted to see how he framed it, and he didn't. During the Super Bowl era, 255 teams have started 0-3. Six of them have gone on to make the playoffs. The last 0-3 team to make the playoffs was the 2018 Houston Texans, who were quarterbacked by Deshaun Watson. It's fantastic. Sir, they've added a whole-ass other game. The 0-3 stat, the 0-2 stat, all of those things, they don't really hold the same type of weight that they used to. Not only did they add another game, didn't they add another playoff team?
Yeah.
Yes.
So there's more games and more playoff teams, which means stats like this hold no relevance anymore.
On this episode of D'Lo and Casey, we have the segment Numbers Never Lie.
Well, did you guys hear the numbers situation about the Bengals loss? That was crazy. That was something you don't see every day.
The what?
The Bengals lost last night. They scored 31 points and lost. In 104 years of the NFL, no team has ever scored 31 points, not had a turnover, and not punted and lost the game. And the Bengals.
How about the fact that the Commanders, two games in a row, every single time they touch the ball, they score?
Crazy.
Two games in a row.
Absolutely crazy.
That's crazy. That is a trip.
91%, Jaden Daniels, 91% completion percentage in his rookie year. The best for any rookie. The kid is sick. That evasion where he kind of like juked him. He got out of pressure. He only took one sack, I think. Just what freaking call that the Commanders got put into with Caleb Williams being the automatic choice for number one. 2 years in a row now, the number two overall pick is better than the number one overall pick. Man. Amazing.
They look like the real deal, though. Like the real deal.
Nah, he looks like the
truth. They can run the damn ball, too, and that offensive line protected him. That's what I'm trying to say. We want it to be flashy. Surround your quarterback with talent. Protect your quarterback. Run the damn ball. Have a decent defense so that your offense isn't, you know, putting its strain on the other side of the ball.
Okay. Yes or no question. Has Jacksonville done any of that for Trevor Lawrence?
Not really. I mean, they have a running back, but I don't think Travis Etienne is like a stout Saquon Barkley-like running back. And I don't love Tank Bigsby. You have...
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand and the yummy way to start the school year.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Brian Thomas there, who's, I love Brian Thomas. He's legit. Christian Kirk had a good game last game, but he's on a milk carton every other game. Mm. Evan Engram wasn't good in New York, and he's banged up now, which does not surprise me. So not really. They haven't. Like, and I don't know necessarily if I trust in the coaching of Doug Peterson either. Mm.
Okay, this could launch another lengthy conversation, so I'll just let that live out in the etherverse for a while.
You don't want to just have one sentence back? We're just going to...
Is Trevor Lawrence good or not?
Yeah, he's good. Yeah, he's good. If Sam Darnold is good, if we're going to say Sam right now that we think Sam Darnold is good, then absolutely Trevor Lawrence is good.
Trevor Lawrence, all right, quarterback. I don't think he's
bad. Yeah, see, that's why you guys shouldn't let me drive, because that was a bad question. I'm not asking the question the way that I want to. Has Trevor Lawrence been underwhelming as an NFL quarterback? Is that because of Trevor Lawrence? Is that because of the way he was talked about, or is it because of the Jacksonville Jaguars?
I think it's like 70 to 80% Jags.
Okay.
And I think it's like 30% Trevor.
Those percentages do not work out at all.
80 or 70, and I said 30.
Okay.
So it has to be 70.
Okay. All right. All right.
This is why the show's the best. This is why the show's
the best. Yeah. I'm glad you think so.
My segment, Gaming and Borrowing, keeping you up to speed with Matt.
I like this, Trista. I like Lou. This was fun. This was great. This was an hour straight of Trista roasting me and working in as many also, meat references as possible.
So are we leaning in to this at this point?
I don't
point,
think so.
Or, oh, no. You should keep it.
No.
We have a big company event next week, and by that point something will happen with the beard.
It's blonde, right? That's what it is.
It's like seven colors. Yeah, there's blonde, there's dark brown, there's gray. There's a little red. There's a lot happening. My biggest fear was looking like Cowboy Brock Lesnar, and I feel like it's getting dangerously close. And so next week before our we have like a 3-day thing where we have event after event after event. I'm gonna have my barber do something, and it's probably gonna be curtains.
Are we going trim or are we going baby face? What are we
doing? It's not baby face. No, I'm not doing that again. But it'll be maybe growing faded, and it'll be something.
I wasn't growing this down all summer.
I was trying to. I try. Look, I've done it. Like it's just I don't like the way that it looks, and I really hate the way that it looks in pictures. And it's just
You could dye it.
No, it's too late for that, buddy. It's too late for that.
Too late.
It's too late.
It's never too late.
It's too late. It's like, how? What am I going to come in here looking like Hollywood Hogan tomorrow?
So,
looking like Carlos Boozer upside down.
I wouldn't even know what color to dye it.
Your hair color. That's the color.
What color is my hair, Trista?
I would say like a reddish brown.
Boom. We just
they
we
can
just,
match it.
We made it happen.
A good colorist can match it.
Okay. We have nowhere else to put this commercial break.
All right, well, let's put it there.
You're just going to... All right. All right, TK. We love you to death.
I love you guys so much.
All right.
Everybody I talk to about this show, I let them know, like, ride for D-Lo and Casey. Y'all are family.
That's my
always
girl.
Love.
Thank you.
Go Portland Fire.
Okay, no, it's good. Trista Crick, just go to commercial for the... Well, that was an eventful commercial break.
We're just trying to live.
That's all we're trying to do, man.
Sounds like it's been a day.
All we are trying to do is live our best life.
We're just trying to live. Man.
I don't know why everybody works. Why does everybody work against us? What do we do?
I have no idea.
Is it because we're the clique?
Well,
I think that might be it.
That could be the case.
That might be it. I think you're Scott Hall.
Well, how'd I get Scott Hall?
Okay, I'm not complaining. Am I Shawn? Because I have the worst attitude, so I'm Shawn Michaels.
Well, Shawn you're, was just a jackass.
Well, thanks. You're Kevin Nash.
I'm saying you're not a jackass.
You're Shawn Kevin was. Nash. You stir stuff up, but you're a little more like level headed. You, Jesse, I think you might be the 1-2-3 kid.
That works.
Or no. You're Hunter. You're Triple H because you're like...
That means the next year or whatever after our curtain call is going to be ass for me. Squash matches to the Ultimate Warrior at WrestleMania.
No, that was the PDX era.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah, no, we lived through that. It's only up from here.
See? See?
We're good.
And now you married the boss's daughter and you're running the company. You're good to go.
X-Pac.
Shout out X-Pac. That's like real DX.
I hate the idea that Triple H only runs the company because he married Steph. Like maybe he's in that position. Maybe it didn't hurt, but he was super sharp. Like he was always like a very literal student of the game, so to speak.
Yeah. That reminds me.
Couldn't have hurt. I'm just,
He's already better than Redacted.
Well, speaking of, it looks like that Netflix doc might not be what we thought.
Yeah, it might not be. Not based
on the response
we
got. I saw him out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Someone tweeted that was the best marketing you could have did for the doc.
I'm sorry. Did Vince McMahon just tweet? Okay.
Then Vince, it seems like you would know better than I would, but it seems like Vince never like answers 60 minute pieces or anything like that.
He used to, like during the steroid era. The steroid era, that's sweet.
I guess I
would say. During the steroid trial and some of the pretty salacious things that they're going to have to cover, probably. You know this, and we'll talk to Jason Jones about it. For us, it's going to be there tonight.
Yeah,
it's going to be there at 9 o'clock tonight.
Yeah.
But during that stuff, like he went on like Donahue. Mm-hmm. He did some of the, I guess it was CNN stuff. When Owen passed away, he did some of that stuff. He obviously famously did the Bob Costas interviews, did a couple of them. He's never done a lot of them. As the company became public, when the company became public, he fell back a little more. Mm-hmm. I think Bob Costas happened after the company went public, but that became like a bit. To where it was, I want a rematch. And, he steps out and, he's his last guest of the season and they do a big storyline for it. So it wasn't really like it was a tough look for Vince, but it wasn't like really bad press.
Right.
Is this a limited series or is it like an hour and a half, Doc?
No, it's a series. I think it's a 6-part series.
All six episodes out tonight?
I believe so. Wow. I believe so. I'm going to try to watch as many of them as I can tonight. Mm. We got WNBA. Wow, we got WNBA tonight, yeah, too. Tomorrow.
The good game is the late game.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I'm gonna
save the recap for Thursday?
Yeah, I'm going to try to get through them. I'm going to try to get through as many as I can. It'll be interesting to watch, though. We'll talk with Jason Jones about this. I'm sure he'll have some thoughts. He might have even seen it. Mm. The way Jason sees all of this stuff that drops.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.